Lord, I welcome you in particular to the service today in Jesus' name. I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I pray the joy of serving the Lord will be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you and worship you. We bless your name because you have kept us alive so that we can keep on worshiping you in truth and in spirit. We're asking, Lord, that everyone here today, your children, the saints of God, as well as our invitees, everyone will have cause to glorify you in our lives in Jesus' name. Speak your word unmistakably to everyone today. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. As we come to the reading of the word and the preaching of the word, I want you to open your heart and pay close attention. Because sometimes what we hear may be relevant today or may be relevant in the future. And to prepare ourselves for today and for this time, as well as for the future, we need to take in the words we hear. Today we're talking on the tragedy of fatal end of life backsliding. That word, end of life, should be underlined. End of life. Saul did not know the last battle he would fight before the end will come. He didn't know the last challenge, the last temptation he would have before the end of his life. Neither does anybody know the last battle, the last trial, the last sickness, the last temptation, the last trial he would have before the end of his life. And it's a tragedy when the very challenge, the temptation at the end of life is not handled well. The tragedy of fatal end of life backsliding. We read the story in 1 Samuel chapter 28. I just select a few verses to read. Look at verse 3. Now Samuel was dead. In his own case, he finished well. You will finish well. Amen. All Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. Dying is not a strange thing. Good people die, bad people die. Righteous Samuel died, unrighteous Saul died. It's not the death, it's what has happened in life before death and what happens in after death, after the grave. Now we're told, and Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. When Saul became king, Samuel had anointed him. And when Samuel anointed him, as he turned, God gave him another heart. God gave him a new heart. He was changed. He was transformed. He became a new man, a new creature. We're saying the New Testament language, born again. He had life new, life eternal. And at that time, he did what righteous people, born again people, born again Christians, what they do. He took out everything that was of the devil from his jurisdiction, that is from his kingdom, because he was now king over the kingdom of Israel. And he took away, stamped out all the people that had familiar spirits and the witches and the wizards out of the land. Now a battle, now a war. Now the Philistines were against him. This was not the first battle he had. The Amalekites have been against him, he fought. The Philistines have been against him, he fought. But this was the very last. Those of us getting old or older, would you be careful? Shall we be careful? How we live, what we do, what decisions we take, because the end of life is very near. And whatever it is you had been in the past, think about, what are you today? End of life. Because it matters. End of life, abomination. End of life, backsliding. End of life, consultation with familiar spirit. End of life, corruption. End of life, defilement. End of life, evil. End of life, filthiness. As the end is coming for everyone, you don't know when the rapture will take place. End of life, backsliding. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said, hold on. It's good to have servants who stand for the truth. Servants who are not yes men, yes women. Servants who care not only for our present comfort, but they care for our eternal destiny. The servants of Saul, none of them could have said, sir, with all due respect, you stamped out, you wiped out all those people having familiar spirit at the beginning of your race, of your journey, of your reign. Why are you going to seek them now when you surround yourself with smiling servants? You surround yourself with yes men, yes women. You surround yourself with the people that only want your earthly present comfort, but they're not thinking of your eternal destiny. You can be lost just like that. They can't confront you. They can't correct you. They can't say no. If they try to say no, maybe with their body language, and you see it on their faces, I said, go search for me. Somebody having familiar spirit, and you see the surprise on their faces, you react with terrible frowning, and they understand. They have studied you. They know when you are not happy. I sent you to go and buy that thing. I sent you to go and search for that thing. And you will not listen to me. And you ruin yourself Because the people that can help you and turn you away from evil things, you hate good counseling. You hate good instruction. And so the servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. In verse 8, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. They didn't only direct him to where he could find the evil woman, the witch, using witchcraft, but they went along with him. Well, you know the story. A backslider at the very doorstep of death, the tragedy of fatal end of life backsliding. First Chronicles chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord. Please understand that when you disobey the word, you disobey God. When you transgress against the word, you trespass against God himself, because the word of the Lord and the Lord of the word cannot be separated, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, and inquired not, and to inquire of it. In verse 14, and inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him. The Philistines slew him, but really God used the Philistines. God slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. The tragedy of fatal end of life backsliding. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the temptation and transgression of an incurable backslider. Number two is the test and the temptation of an incorrigible backslider. And number three, the trust and triumph over incapacitating backsliding. Number one, the temptation and the transgression of an incurable backslider. Saul was an incurable backslider. He had backslidden before, then he backslid again, and the backsliding became permanent. That he just forgot the word of God. All he could think about rising up in the morning and sleeping in the night is to chase David and get rid of David. He lived with anger. He lived with hatred. He lived with animosity. He lived with malice. And he lived with malicious pursuit of David. He was an incurable backslider. The temptation that comes to those people and the transgression in Galatians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And let's apply that. Saul If you build again the things which you once destroyed, you make yourself a transgressor. Make it personal. You, as a Christian, you came to know the Lord. You, as a believer, you gave your life to the Lord and you turned away from everything evil, everything satanic, everything that was of evil spirit, you turned away. Now, if you build again the things which you destroyed, you make yourself transgressor. Now, build again the things that you once destroyed. What did you destroy at the beginning of your Christian life? Well, maybe you were not connected with familiar spirit. That's not the issue. Whatever it is, you once destroyed. You know, all the one of those of us that were younger when we became converted. You know, the things that young people did at that time, all the lies, all the hypocrisy, all the religiosity that didn't result in righteousness, we forsook them. The tradition of the elders, of denomination, we forsook them. And if you go back to them now, after how many years of serving the Lord, if you build again the tradition you once destroyed, if you build again all those evil things you destroyed before, you make yourself a backslider. You forsook what they called, sin partners at that time. You forsook those fornicators and those adulterers. When you gave yourself to the Lord, you cried, you knelt, you said, Lord, how could I be so bad and so foolish and so filthy that I did that before? Now, if after you have known the Lord, you forsook all those things, you destroyed them at the beginning. If you build again the adulterous practice, if you build again the fornicating practice that you destroyed before, you make yourself a transgressor. The lying, the pretense, the hypocrisy that you destroyed before, if you build that again, you make yourself a transgressor. And the corruption. You know, when you were born again, you're working in an office, and you made restitution at that time, and you said, I'm sorry I've been corrupt, I'm sorry I was covetous, I'm sorry I stole. But now, after you say you're born again, after some years, the corruption that you destroyed and the covetousness you forsook, if you pick that up again, money, 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 you're looking for money now. If you build up again the things which you once destroyed, you make yourself a transgressor. Now, look at that verse again. There are two sides to every coin. And there are two sides to this verse. Look at it. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What's the other side? If I destroy now the things I once built up, I make myself a transgressor. There are things were destroyed. We shouldn't build them up again. But there are things were built on conviction. There are things were built on the scripture. There are things were built on righteousness. There are things were built on redemption. And if we at this time destroy the things we build. We make ourselves transgressors. What conviction did we have before? We built it up over time, over months and years. We built our conviction. If now, at old age, all the convictions were built up at that time, new friends have come into our lives. Well, we're not married. I wasn't married when I was born again. And what a great privilege for me. Not married just all by myself. I didn't have to consult a wife or a friend or anybody. I knew this is the way. Walk ye therein. And I built up conviction. And then later, I got married. And later, I had children. Later, I had some very close friends. And later, I have some, you know, people from outside who came to know me, and they appreciated the life I was living and the conviction I'd built up. And some of those friends, I don't know what they will do, but if I should always remember the other side of the coin, if I now destroy the conviction I once built up, I'll make myself a transgressor. And somebody has to be looking for something. You're searching for something. You want to get either prestige, you want to get honor, you want to get recognition, you want to get whatever wealth, before you can turn around and destroy the convictions you built before. But understand, when you do that, you make yourself a transgressor. It's a great temptation for people who want success by all means. A great temptation for people who want acceptance, fellowship by all means. The temptation and the transgression of an incurable backslider. In Proverbs chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Saul found it out eventually, because he now was going to build up what he destroyed before. He had chased out all those people having familiar spirits, all the witches and the wizards out of the land. Now he's reconnecting with them. He became a transgressor, and the way of the transgressor is hard. Look at number two. Point one here. Point one is the beginning of perpetual backsliding. The beginning. Number two, the battles of perpetual backsliders. Number three is the behavior of performing backsliders. Look at number one. Number one, the beginning of perpetual backsliding. How did it begin? With Saul. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, excuse making, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. 22, in verse 22, and Samuel said, "At the Lord hath great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Verse 23, "For rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft." Rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft. In the sight of the Lord, those who rebel, those who practice witchcraft, they end up in the same hell, hellfire, if they don't repent. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. In the sight of the Lord, those who are stubborn and those who are idolatrous, they end up in the same hellfire if they don't repent. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." I feared the people. That's what begins backsliding. I feared the people. What will the people want? What do they desire? What do they ask of me? What do they expect of me? At the beginning of his reign, he feared the people. Now, at the end, he still feared the people. Now, the people must not hear that I go to a witch in Endor, and because of that fear, he had to disguise himself. You ought to be very careful and watchful in your life. I feared the people. Why do you fear the people? Well, they can kill me. If you fear death, and you don't fear God, you'll still die, but you'll go to hell. Because the fearful and the unbelieving, with all liars, will find themselves in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. What are you fearing of people? They'll do this, they'll do that, and so watch. The beginning of backsliding is fearing and fearing and fearing the people. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man. You know the truth. Instead of obeying the truth, you do not because you fear people. Well, he feared Israelites. Why? Why should you fear the Israelites? Because the Israelites have the word of God. You have the word of God. If they are obeying the word of God, why should you fear them? They should accept you, because they are Israelites and you are reigning in Israel. You shouldn't fear the people that have the word, and the Lord has given them the word. If Israel is not obeying the word, we don't fear people who are rebellious against God. They are not in favor with God. Why should we fear them? And the people who are obeying God, why should we fear them? They are by faith, walking by faith in God. So whether they are obedient or they are disobedient, we shouldn't fear them. And the same thing in the church. The church, especially a Bible-believing church, Deep Alive Bible Church. Why should we fear the people in a Bible church? They have the Bible, they want the Bible, they know the Bible, they desire the Bible. So, and we preach the Bible, we shouldn't fear them. What if they backslide, some of them, and they're not obeying the Bible? Well, if they reject God, we pity them, we don't fear them. So, if they obey the Lord, we don't fear them. If they don't obey the Lord, we don't fear them. Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. And that is the beginning of perpetual backsliding. Look at number two. Number two, the battles of perpetual backsliders. Battles of perpetual backsliders. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, I'm reading here from verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. You think you apply that to Saul? Saul, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You might disguise yourself. You might pretend to be another man. You might put on other raiment. But God sees your face. He sees your heart. He sees beyond the pretense. He sees beyond the hypocrisy. He sees beyond the other image you're putting on. Thou hast done foolishly, therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. When, as you are still alive, when you walk righteously, he'll prevent wars and battles that will overwhelm you, that will overcome you. He'll prevent them. But if you do foolishly, if you act foolishly, instead of depending upon the Lord, you want to depend on another power, on a secret power. Well, the success you are looking for, while depending on gods in the plural, you're not going to get the success. You're not going to get the victory. And the thing you think you're going to have, you're not going to have them. It will be a foolish thing for you to go astray like that. And because of that, from now on, henceforth, you'll have battles. Look at number three. Number three is the behavior of performing backsliders. Backsliders dramatize. Backsliders act. They act, they act. Backsliders pretend. Backsliders, they get on stage and they dramatize, not the real thing. They're just there to perform. And we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 8, and Saul disguised himself. You don't have to disguise yourself. You will not disguise yourself when you are doing right, when you are righteous, when you are holy. You want them to see, you want your light to so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When you are doing right, you don't disguise yourself, you don't pretend, He don't put on another color like a chameleon. When you're walking in the way of the Lord, you do that confidently, and you are who you are. You want them to know, so and so, I've done that good thing, I've done that righteous thing. It is when you want to bend the rule. It is when you want to sin. It is when you want to do evil. You have to cover up your disguise. And so he says, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. You couldn't do that by day. Sinners, backsliders who do evil, they try to use the cover of darkness, the night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman protested and said, well, you know what Saul has done. Saul must not hear this. Well, the person standing before you, which is Saul himself, Saul must not hear this. But Saul had backslidden, the perpetual backslider, and is now behaving in disguise. And so Saul said, don't worry, nothing will happen to you, and even swore to her. Now, disguising, when you disguise, that doesn't change the judgment that comes. 1 Kings chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 2. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 2. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself. Jeroboam, why? Why does your wife have to disguise? Well, because Jeroboam had gone away from the Lord. And even though God had sent the prophet to warn him, he didn't accept the warning. He raised up his hand, that's chapter 13, take him, and his hand dried up. God warned him by that judgment. He told that prophet, pray for me. And the prophet prayed for him, and his hand returned to the normal position. You know, the goodness of God leads you to repentance, but he didn't repent. But now his child was sick. He wanted to know whether the child will get well. And so he sent the wife to the prophet. I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I shall be king over these people. Look at verse 4, not verse 14, verse 4. In verse 4, and Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. And thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, she shall feign, pretend, disguise herself to be another woman. Disguise. Verse 6, and it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. I have a heavy message for you and for those today who still pretend. When they see the prophet, they pretend. When they're in the presence of the prophet, they pretend and they disguise themselves. But they are backsliders, and all they do, they are only trying to perform the acts of the backslider. But the heavy message is still for them. Point number two. In point number two, the tests and temptations of incorrigible backsliders. Incorrigible backsliders. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I'm looking at verse 2. 2 Chronicles verse 2, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. When people do what is right, but they'll not do it with a perfect heart, all their heart, all their mind, all their soul. And they say, is that not enough? They just do it barely well. Yes, they think they're obeying the Lord, but their heart is not fully there. They would rather cheat a little, cut corners a little. They would rather do something different. But well, they're looking over my shoulders, I have to do that. They do right, but not with a perfect heart. Eventually, they go to battle, and they overcome in the battle. And eventually, look at verse 14 now. In verse 14, we're told, now it came to pass after that Amaziah, that the one we read about in verse 2, was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, the same as Edom, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and turned and burnt incense unto them. This is the person that obeyed God before, but you know, the scripture tells us it's not with a perfect heart. It's not transparent obedience. It is not single-minded obedience. It's just, okay, if I have to do that, and they do. But their heart is not fully there. Verse 15. In verse 15, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he said unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand. Verse 16, and it came to pass as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God has determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. You see, those so are incorrigible that God sends his prophet to them. Why have you done this? I thought you obeyed the Lord at least superficially, at least up to an extent when you ascended the throne. Why are you doing this now? Come on. Who makes you my leader, my counsel? Who makes you my mentor? Get off my back, or else you'll be smitten. And the prophet said, that's all right. I know God has determined to destroy you, incorrigible backslider. We're looking at three things. Number one, the prediction of end time backsliding. Number two is the tempting partnership with endangering backsliders. Number three is the tormenting perdition for end of life backsliders. Number one, the prediction of end time backsliding. Matthew 24, we're reading from verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Those were the words of Jesus. He predicted it, that at the end of time, there will be false prophets. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The fervency of obedience will not be there anymore. They'll be sluggish. They'll hear the word. It will come in one ear and go out the other ear. The perpetual backsliders, they hear the word and they continue in their old ways. The love, the fervent, fiery love of God, the fresh love of God is no more there, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, he that will keep obedience to the end, that will keep the love of God unto the end, that will keep the conviction unto the end, that will not build again what they once destroyed, that will not destroy what they once built, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We're coming to number two here. Number two is the tempting partnership with endangering backsliders. Tempting partnership. Tempting partnership. You know, the people that, are with you, if they're always smiling, if they always give their consent, if they never, they don't want to offend you. They know you're offending God, but they don't want to offend you. But I'm asking them a question now, those partners. You see, somebody is offending God. If he's callous enough, if he's terrible enough to offend God in daylight, Why should you be so considerate? You don't want to offend the one who is offending God. But you see, there are people like that, the jellyfish believers. You don't have any backbone. And you see somebody is kind of disobeying the word of God. You keep smiling. You keep consenting. They will keep encouraging, and they'll in their attitude, they'll say, oh, she's a great woman, he is a great man. Now, you know the fellow is doing evil, and you know that if the Lord will mark iniquity, this man, this woman will not stand. But you are partners. These two people were read it already, that went with Saul to the witch of Endor. They knew it was wrong. They knew. Even the woman said, why are you endangering my life? If Saul knows this, he will get rid of me. They knew it was wrong, but they were still partners to Saul. Let's be very careful, especially as we know the rapture can take place anytime. And we know death can come anytime. Why would you, with your profession of salvation, profession of sanctification, profession and baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are party to endangering backsliders. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Ye did run well. Now, friends, I'm talking to these two people now. When Saul destroyed witchcraft, familiar spirit possessors in the land of Israel, the two of you, were you there? Were you part of the people he sent out? Chase them out. Remove them from the land. If you were two of them that Saul sent to chase them out, why are you supporting him now when seeking for witchcraft help? You did run well. Who has now hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Verse 9, a little leaven, a little compromise, leaven deepness the whole lump. We'll come to that chapter 2 again, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. For if I build again, now it doesn't matter. It might be an apostle. If I, an apostle, build again the things which I once destroyed. Now, you'll not say, he's an apostle, I don't accept his action, but I respect his person. You make a difference between the sin and the sinner. He is a great man, and I don't approve of his action, but I respect his greatness. You're not having the mind of Christ. She is a great woman. I respect her greatness, even though I don't approve of her action. Well, that's the excuse you are giving to become a partner of an endangering backslider. Because if I, an apostle, build again The things which I, the apostle, once destroyed, I, the apostle, make myself a transgressor. We're looking at number three. Number three, tormenting perdition for end of life backsliders. When somebody backslides and there is no chance to retrace his steps. When somebody backslides and there is no chance, no time to repent, like it happened to Saul. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith, not by fear. When you live by fear, you become unjust. You become unrighteous. When you live by fear, you become unworthy of heaven. And you become unprepared for heaven. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When Saul turned back, looking for help from the ones that have familiar spirit, the soul of the Lord did not have pleasure in him anymore. Verse 39. In verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Saul drew back unto perdition. End of life backsliders draw back unto perdition, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Revelation chapter 14. I'm reading from verse 10. Revelation 14, verse 10. The same, those who draw back to perdition, end of life backsliders, if they die in that condition, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. We're coming to point number three. In point number three, the trust and triumph over incapacitating backsliding. You know, backsliding incapacitates people, weakens people, breaks backbones of people. When somebody backslides, the next temptation that comes is prepared to succumb. When somebody yields to the fear of man at level stage one, when the next stage of trial, temptation, and pressure comes, it's ready, because he yielded to temptation at the first level, is already conditioned to yield now. When a backslider comes to you and makes you to compromise, and you said, I should have spoken, but I didn't have the courage to speak. Just his presence silenced me. Just her presence silenced me. When you yield that first time, she'll come again. He'll come again, but already you're weakened. Already your backbone is broken. Already you don't have any determination anymore. You think you have, but you don't. When he comes again, you are incapacitated. You're weakened. When she comes again, just be like a dumb dog just following her after their evil solicitation. But the trust we have in God, the triumph we have in God over incapacitating backsliding. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able, if we trust him, he is able. If we lean on the Lord, he is able. If we by faith approach the throne of grace, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Look at three things here. Number one, the thorough repentance of penitent backsliders. Number two, total restoration for pardoned backsliders. Number three, travailing rescue of present day backsliders. Number one is the thorough repentance of penitent backsliders. He wants backsliders to repent thoroughly and to vomit out all those things in the mind, all those things in the life that leans towards going back to the old vomit. Ezekiel chapter 18, I'm reading from verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. If you will judge the house of Israel, you will judge the head of Israel. Therefore I will judge you, O head of Israel. He judged Saul. He judges sin. He judges great men. He judges great women. He judges heads and leaders of the congregation. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. In verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For why will ye die, O head of Israel? Verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Number two. Point number two here is total restoration for pardoned backsliders. He'll pardon. And when he pardons, he also restores. Psalm 51. I'm reading from verse 6. 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. He wants truth, transparent. He wants truth, even from the heart. He doesn't want any cover up. When you commit adultery, David, he doesn't want you to drug the husband of Bathsheba and to make him drunk so that he can go to his wife, and then whatever he does, you'll cover it up and you'll say, I'm not responsible for the pregnancy. He requires truth in the inward part. You know, David, when that trick fails, he doesn't want you writing to Joab and putting Uriah in the difficult part of the battle and killing Uriah. He wants truth in the inward part. He don't want you to add iniquity to iniquity. One evil had been done, and then to cover up that iniquity, you have another iniquity to cover it up. He doesn't want that, because he requires truth in the inward part. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Verse 7. In verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You must take time to pray and to say, Lord, purge me. I sense the corruption inside. Purge me. I sense, I feel the filthiness on the inside. Purge me, wash me, because I can see the defilement on the inside. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8. In verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Speak to me. Tell me you have forgiven me. Speak to me. Let your spirit assure me of the purging, of the purifying. Let me hear of the joy and the gladness of the new life, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. When you allow sin, defilement, immorality, fornication, adultery, defilement, when you allow that in your life, apart from the fact that you have sinned, that immoral feeling, defilement, lingers on in the mind, lingers on in your soul. That the reason why, because that defilement lingers on, if another temptation comes, because of the defilement that is still lingering on in your body, in your emotion, in your feeling, very easy to fall back into that immoral solicitation. But when your heart is cleansed, so that all those activities and all the defilement that is stored up, everything is taken away, then it becomes easy for you to stand and not to go back to those things and more. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors. If you're still a transgressor, you'll be a big zero, a big hypocrite, teaching other transgressors. No, you have to be restored first. If you're still a backslider, and your backsliding is real, even those who know you can see it on your face, you will be a big hypocrite, a big zero, trying to get to other backsliders and saying you are restoring them. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you are a defiled, defiling backslider, you will be a big hypocrite, remaining, you know, I'm a prayer warrior, I'm praying, but you know it's not real, because you have not been restored yet. You have not been cleansed. If you have been like Saul, and you are going to the false prophet and the familiar spirit, and then you still remain what they call a worker in the church, you know you are just a hypocrite. You are deceiving other people, or you are deceiving yourself. You must have total restoration first. Total restoration for pardoned backsliders. And that's why he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Look at number three here. Number three is the travailing rescue of present day backsliders. Present day backslider. Saul is gone. Judas is gone. Demas gone. Those are the previous backsliders. But now, the present day backsliders. We're looking at James chapter 5, reading from verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, rescue them, preach to them. Don't smile at backsliders, don't partner with backsliders. If any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, verse 20. In verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death. Rescue them so they can be saved from death, and shall hide a a multitude of sins. Galatians chapter 4. We're looking at verse 19. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Little children, but Paul the apostle was not sure of those Galatians anymore. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not abide in the truth? And he says, my little children, the voice of tenderness and pity and sorrow and pain in the heart, of whom I travail in birth again. He travailed before. They were born again. Now, in their backsliding position, they had to travail again for their rescue, for their repentance, and for their restoration, and for their coming back unto the Lord. He didn't want them to just, you know, cover their sin out of, we're still in the fellowship, we're still coming, we're still children of God, covering up what they are doing or what doing in the secret. But Paul the apostle, by the Spirit, knew, and by reports that he heard, he knew. And he said, I marvel that he has so soon removed from him that calleth you into another gospel, which is not another. For there are those that will pervert the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if we or any other preach any other gospel to you than you have received, let him be accursed. As I said, so say I now, if I or any other, even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to cover up sin, to accommodate sin, to excuse sin, it doesn't matter. Since we do it, what do you think is wrong? Are we not the decision makers in the church, and we do it, so it's all right if anyone, even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel that will pollute you, that will immerse you back into defilement and sin, let him be accursed. That's why I say, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Verse 20. In verse 20, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He wants us to be triumphant. Our triumphant one will travail, and we go back to God like we did in earlier days, and we build up conviction on repentance, on restitution, on redemption, on righteousness. And now we examine our lives. Are we present day backsliders? Are we perpetual backsliders? Are we incapacitated by backsliding? Are we incorrigible as backsliders? Are we corrupt now? Can't we, shouldn't we come back to the Lord and say, while the day of grace is still there, and while the mercy of God is still calling, Lord, we come. Lord, we come. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come. Lord, we come. Not the usual prayer that doesn't touch the heart. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. You think you are righteous? That's all right. And you think you are not a backslider? That's all right. You think you're still standing? That's all right. You think you have the grace of God? That's all right. But understand, we're talking about today, we're talking about the future. You don't know what last battle you'll have before the final call. What final temptation? What final trial? What final sickness? What final pressure you'll have before the final call? Now that you have your mind, you have your brain, you have your thinking faculty, this is the time to say, Lord, search me, O God, search me. If there be any wicked way in me, and if there be any tendency to backslide, to give in to backsliders, Lord, search me and help me to return fully, completely unto you. Travail, pray, repent, seek the Lord. Let him protect you, preserve you from end of life backsliding.
It's time.